Can you do a cricket noise? Oh. There's a lot of wildlife out here.
Yeah, when are we gonna actually be inside?
No, this is all outside. This whole trip is outside.
Everything.
Yeah.
We're supposed to eat and sleep out here.
We're gonna eat, we're gonna sleep, we're gonna evacuate.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
No, I mean...
I'm Drew.
And I'm John.
And you're listening to The Ourchive, our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
So before we get started, we should note that this episode is part of our summer series.
Because it's still summer.
It's still a summer. So we start with summer vacation.
It's always summer somewhere.
We start with shut up. It is. No. Yes. We start with the summer vacation episode.
Yeah.
It was sort of a general kind of
Get you in the mood.
And now we're moving on
grease you up, ready for summer. I mean, you know, like suntan lotion stuff. Yeah.
Now it's the great outdoors.
Yeah.
The great outdoors. I mean, the first thing I think of is camping, obviously. Did you do a lot of camping? Have you done a lot of camping?
Regrettably, yes.
Regrettably?
No, I have a love-hate relationship with camping.
What kind of stupid jerk?
No, I'm joking. I did, when I was very young, I did, or not very young, but you know.
Yeah.
In the formative years, the junior high, a little before that, 8, 10, 12, that. Yeah, I camped regularly a couple times a year.
We did a lot of camping growing up. I did a lot of camping on vacations and
Why
stuff.
Do you think that is?
I don't know. My parents liked it, you know. Mm-hmm. And we would do it on the road trips, the vacations that we went on, as well as annually my mom's side of the family had the camping reunion. Uh-huh. And we
did
all
that
camped.
Start before you were around?
Oh, you know what? I don't think it did, actually. Mm-hmm. At least not in an official capacity. Mm-hmm. I can remember the first one. And it was only recently that we had like the 10-year... Maybe it wasn't recently anymore. Feels like it was. Anyway.
That was 10 years ago.
Yeah, no kidding. But I love it. I love camping.
Mm-hmm.
I love it, man.
What do you like about it so much?
The best thing about camping, for me, is mm-hmm. breakfast.
Huh.
Waking up and either making or being welcomed with breakfast.
Oh.
Camp breakfasts are the best breakfasts.
Why?
I don't know, because you're like, it is so fulfilling, I think. Because usually... night sleeping mm-hmm. during camping is not...
It's hellacious.
It is not really a restorative process.
Right.
In the way that sleeping at home is, you know?
Yeah.
Like, generally, you're fighting a battle all night in some form or another. So the breakfast in the morning, to me, is sort of a respite from that.
Yeah.
So you get up, you can finally feel like, okay, I can get up now.
You survived the night.
Yeah.
Way to go, soldier.
And what's really great is to get out the old camp stove, you know.
What is a camp stove?
Camp stove.
I picture this just being a pot.
No. It could be. But, here's the thing, and I don't know how many camping enthusiasts are listening. You know, the purist may fault me or my family for primarily using camp stoves rather than cooking on the fire. But
well, how do you cook on the fire if you don't have some sort of stove type?
Well, there's
thing
various.
Are you talking like
methods? But what I'm talking about is a collapsible range.
Okay.
And what I love is bacon, and while camping, and we have a tradition now that when we go on that family mm-hmm. camping trip. My mom has to cook, must.
I hope you're hearing this, Mom.
She knows.
Okay.
She knows. Originally, it was just a pound of bacon uh-huh. for me and her.
Okay.
But recently, my brother and his family have been joining us, right? Mm-hmm. So it's his wife, three kids.
Okay.
And my sister-in-law also really loves bacon. So now it's 2 pounds
it's
of bacon.
It's expanded. Okay. Anything? Do you have any, like, garnish or anything with the bacon? Like a,
yeah, we'll have eggs.
Okay.
Whatever. The bacon's what's important. And generally, actually, what happens, there's two breakfasts on separate days. The first breakfast is usually the bacon breakfast. The bacon breakfast. The second breakfast the next morning is usually pancakes.
Oh, good. I would favor the second day breakfast.
What I really, and this sort of get into that whole family camping thing, family camping reunion that we have. So, well, you know, there's four or five groups, you know, families. Mm-hmm. These are my mother's siblings and their families, right? Mm-hmm. We'll all sort of get campgrounds near each other. Camping sites, I should mm-hmm. say, on the same campground near each other. And what's awesome is in the morning, you just kind of orbit. You go to everyone's campsite, you get some food.
Yeah, yeah. Like buffet stations.
Exactly.
Your campout is like an outdoor Mongolian buffet.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, for instance, whenever my cousin Jacob happens to be at the reunion, he always shows up at our campsite because we have so much bacon.
That's where the bacon is.
Yeah. My Uncle Jimmy one year had beignets.
Ooh.
And coffee. That was great. That's been a recent addition too, is to make sure we have coffee ready to go at the campsite. But I really do love the food. And what I've been getting... I just got really close to the microphone. What I've been getting into lately is cooking on the fire.
Uh-huh.
So this is where my cast iron Dutch oven comes in.
Okay.
So it's basically a pot made of cast iron.
Okay, sure.
And it works as an oven because you can obviously put it on the coals, and then you can put the lid on, and you put coals on top of the lid so that you get you cook it all the way, you know, on all sides.
Okay.
Same way you would in an oven, right?
Mm-hmm.
Heat coming from all sides. So in my experiments and attempts at cooking with it, I've made these like stuffed apple desserts.
Hmm.
I have made pizza in it. Biscuits is like the classic thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's awesome, the things you can do.
You should charge. You should charge people, like, not your family, but, like, other people at campsites.
Yeah.
Just come over and be, like, serve them breakfast.
You're right.
Yeah.
The other great thing about camping is the fire. And what I love to do
is burn. It was a pleasure to burn.
I love to sit... Especially with a really large group of people around a fire uh-huh. and just listen to people talk and stare at the fire.
Uh-huh.
I generally don't join in conversation. I just sort of like to listen and be hypnotized by the flames as they curl and lick.
Do you remember the conversations that you hear?
No.
Okay.
It's all about the moment. Mm. I remember nothing.
These conversations will fade away like the smoke off a crackling fire. Fade into the night.
discourse fade away.
What do you like about camping, if anything?
I like exploring. I've always liked exploring. Mm-hmm. I never liked the campsite because the campsite, like, I don't like stopping when I'm camping. That's the thing.
All right.
I hate... My problem with nature is that, and I do have a problem
with
nature.
It's a long list.
No, I can't. I'm never settled outside.
Okay.
I never feel comfortable outside. And yeah. So the only way for me to address that is to keep moving.
Yeah.
So I have a big big problem.
I got a big trouble.
I got a big trouble. I got a big trouble with you outdoors. I don't like, I definitely don't like sitting in a tent.
Oh, no one does.
I don't like standing around a campsite. I mean, I can be comfortable, somewhat comfortable sitting around a fire. I think anybody can, you know. But
you sat at a fire with some 41.
I did, yeah. On a parking
comfortable.
Lot. Yeah. Uncomfortably. No, I'm just nervous in that environment, you know. I'm constantly worried about something encroaching on me.
You know?
Because I
can't see.
I feel like I don't belong there, I guess.
Yeah, you don't.
You know, I don't, yeah.
You're right.
I definitely don't. Yeah. So I like to keep moving.
You don't belong here. Hey, boy.
Is that the fire talking to me?
Hey, boy. You don't belong here.
Why aren't you listening to those conversations, boy?
You ain't supposed to be talking. Just listening. Get out of here.
Yes. Yes, fire.
You're not welcome.
Yes, I'm going.
I love loitering. I mean, loitering is the thing to do, and you can't.
Loiter. I understand the appeal of it. I can't get over, or I have difficulty getting over that hurdle, discomfort of being in that environment. So, like, I deal with it by I keep moving. I try to, like, the best camping experiences that I've had have all been, like, as a kid, I would get, like, my friends and I would get together and we would all find a creek bed or something and we would just take it as far as we could go, mm-hmm. you know, before we got called back for something else. So when I was in Boy Scouts, that was the way to go. Like, get the guys together, head out in this creek bed and just find, you know, whatever discarded refuse, you know, was there. And it, like, took on, like, mythic properties. Like, you know, there'd be, like, a tire and you would be like, wow. This tire, man. Just imagine what kind of things this tire's been through. Yeah. And I never felt like I got... This is the other problem that I have with the outdoors. Like, I never felt like I accomplished what I set out to do. I would always get called back prematurely. It would always be like, you know, oh, it's dinner time now. Or it's time to play soccer. Or it's time to do something else, you know? I never felt like I was in control of my own time camping.
Yeah.
Because in a way, you are sort of dependent upon each other. You know, everybody out there is sort of contributing or should be contributing something, right? You know, I never contributed yet. And actually, I have a funny story about that. The most recent camping trip that I took, this was how I dealt with it. Like, we floated, and I'm sure we'll probably talk about float trips, you know. And I was fine during that, you know, because I had something to focus on. We were moving. There was always something up ahead to look toward. But when we got to the campsite, I was like, I don't know what to do with myself now. Yeah. I really do not know what to do with myself. So the tent goes up and I'm immediately passed out inside. I immediately go inside. The tent wasn't even fully up yet.
My gosh.
Like, we just popped it open and I think I, like, put one stake in it and I was like, well, I'm gonna go to bed. Gosh, I'm tired. I'm going to take a nap.
Like,
so I slept 6 like
p.m.
all afternoon. All afternoon.
Oh,
everybody
man.
Else is working on tents outside and stuff, and I just pass out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I don't know what to do. I don't...
You don't do anything.
I can't handle that. Yeah.
You just sit around.
I can't.
You talk. You talk to your friends.
It's not the same.
You learn new things about them you never knew before.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's the great thing about, sitting around a fire at
You're
night.
You're forced to... talk. Not me. I listen.
We would have a terrible camping experience because I would just be fidgeting. I'd be like kicking rocks and you'd be like waiting for a conversation to happen around the fire. And I would just be like, I would like keep changing chairs. I'd be moving around trying to.
Oh, man.
Woke up at 8, started the fire. Had a few drinks, we all felt inspired. Jumped in the stream, shoes and canteens. The water was bitter cold. Laid in the raft till it started moving. The current she sang, a song was so soothing. We stopped along the way, on a beach in the sun.
I don't know, maybe 12, 13 years old. My dad, three of my uncles, and my cousin went on a backpacking trip. And the plan was to backpack into a campsite, you know, stay the weekend, backpack out. So my dad and I went and bought backpacks, like real hiking,
like
backpacks
with pouches.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like with steel frames.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So we went to the camping supply store, bought backpacks, and we got like, you know, freeze dried food and like all sorts of great stuff. We're really excited about it. So it's me and my dad. Head to where we're all meeting, right? And the night before, we're just camping right in front of the trailhead.
Okay.
Because we all got there in the evening, I think. And that night, we did tried our first freeze-dried, you know, food where you just basically add water and sort of eat it. It was disgusting. And we were like, well, that was too bad. That wasn't good. We all go to bed.
I guess we'll have to eat our arms.
We go to bed, and then the next day, we bright and early make breakfast with our freeze-dried food. We'd also bought these camp pots and pans that we used. The food somehow ruined the pans, and the food was also ruined. We threw all of it away. We threw the pans and the pots away, and we threw all of our freeze-dried food away. It was all gross.
Where did you throw it?
There was garbage. We were, like I said, we were at the trailhead.
Okay.
So there's still civilization.
Okay.
So we threw everything in the trash, and all we really had left was trail mix and whatever everyone else had brought. So we started on the hike. And one of the things that we have been told is an attraction about this particular trail is that there is a cave that you can explore at a certain point. So we're
full
like
of magic food.
Yeah. So that sounds pretty cool, right? So, so we start the hike, and I think it was on the way in, on the hiking in, when it rained. And so it was like a 7 mile hike, I think, with
in
backpacks with about, you know, like 50,
with
60
pouches.
Pounds on your back. Yeah. In the rain and pouches. And the cave is like towards the end of the trail. We finally get to it, and all of us are miserable. And the cave has steel bars across it, the cave mouth. And it was closed because the Indiana bat had taken residence inside the cave, and it was endangered, so no one could go in the cave. So everyone's really mad, and everyone's giving my Uncle Tom a hard time because this is all his plan. So we continue on and eventually get to the campsite. And it, by that time it was night. So I think we set up camp and basically all went to bed. My dad and I ate our trail mix for dinner and hit the sack. So the next day, we get up and sort of, you know, walk around, check out our surroundings. It's still raining. And there's a river, not too far from the campsite, and we realize it's people float in to this campsite.
Yeah.
So now they're all giving my Uncle Tom a hard time. They're like, you had us walk in to a float where we could have floated. So I wasn't giving shit for that. That night, the rain subsides, and my Uncle Tom, well, everyone is having drinks or whatever. My Uncle Tom has more drinks than everyone else. And he was a cop at one point in his life. And so he starts regaling us with stories about, you know, cops, cop life and, you know, things that he's experienced. And my dad and my other uncles are, again, just giving him a hard time the whole time. Like, no one wants to hear it, Tom. You know, sit down or, you know, shut up. And Uncle Tom kept saying, "It's the honest to God truth. All of this is honest to God truth." And he'd look at me and my cousin Ryan, and he'd be like, "Hey, Andrew and Ryan want to hear this." And, like, we, you know, we were just silent. Just like,
I don't talk around the fire. I just look.
So then he eventually passed out in his tent, and we all went to bed. The next day, I think, you know, whatever. I forget. You know, honestly, I can't remember what we did during the day on this trip. Mm-hmm. It was the nights that were eventful. That next night, my Uncle Mike and Uncle Matt tried to make a sauna out of, like, their, like, tarp that they had and branches and stuff. They would sort of make a makeshift sauna by heating up rocks in the fire and then bring it into this little lean-to. And then for whatever reason, the plan was to sit in the sauna. I didn't do this, but sit in the sauna until you got, you know, really hot and, like, it was unbearable, and then run to the river and jump in. And the river was disgusting.
As rivers are.
Everyone was referring it to as bilge water the whole time, and yet they still jumped in. The next morning was when we, you know, that was it. We're heading out. So we pack up all our stuff. Dad and I are just, like, sick of trail mix at this point. It's all we have. So we start hiking back. We get about halfway down the trail. My dad realizes he left his insulin at the campsite.
Oh, crap.
So he had to hike all the way back to get that.
Oh, no.
So all in all, it was a very eventful.
Horrible.
horrible camping trip. I do not recommend backpacking at all. But it was an experience.
They always are.
Yeah.
I mean, they're never not an experience. They're never not something. Something always happens that's memorable.
Mm-hmm. I can remember, like I said, I mean, growing up, we would camp all the time. And then I can remember the first time I camped with friends and how different that was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So different. Like, you're obviously taking advantage of the fact that you're on your own. And,
right,
you know. Just and it was a float trip. It was a combination camping and float trip, and that, and I had never done float trip with friends either.
Uh-huh.
And so, it was different in that it was really disorganized, to be honest. Like, I think my prevailing memory was how little was prepared.
Yeah,
like, I think everything we ate was prepackaged, uh-huh. You know, chips and stuff like that. We didn't make anything.
Yeah,
which makes me sad. But that had a float trip, which is a whole other kind of avenue of...
Man, yeah, float trips, like, was totally foreign to me.
You're saying, like, you had your first one...
Last year, a year ago.
Man, yeah. I mean, that's... I don't know, maybe it's not that odd. I think, for whatever reason, I think it is, because I think in the Midwest, it's such a... You know,
mm-hmm.
such a thing. It's a thing you do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of people do early on in their lives.
Never
but
did
not
it.
But not you.
Never did it. No.
Did you go by canoe or by raft?
We went by canoe.
Have you? Oh, well, so that's the only float trip you've ever done. So you have not experienced a
rafting?
Raft. Yeah.
No. No.
I much prefer a canoe to
Wait,
a raft.
Was it a raft?
If it was a raft, there would have been all of you on one vessel.
Well, we were. I can't remember. No, it was a raft. It was rubber.
Yeah, that's not a canoe.
All right, it wasn't a canoe. It was a raft.
How do you confuse those two things?
Literally, I swear, like in my mind's eye, I picture us floating down the river in a canoe.
But you're in a raft.
But we were in a raft.
Yeah. How many people?
Five.
I don't like rafts because I don't feel in control and I don't know where to sit. You're supposed to sit on the edge, you know?
Okay. I wasn't sure where I was supposed to sit either.
Where did you sit?
We took turns.
Did you sit in like the middle?
There were two.
Because you're not supposed to.
No. We sat on the ends, in the back and the front. One of us was in the front. One of us was in the back rowing. And then I think we like switched off at a certain point.
I find the rafts very unwieldy.
I was a little
clumsy.
I was terrified of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, fortunately, we were never going that fast. Yeah. But if we had hit any rapids or anything, I think I would have freaked out. I think I would have been like, all right, you guys have fun. I'm walking home through the water, through this river.
You just fall out of the raft. I'm just going to let it take me where it wants to.
Collapse into the river. Oh, no. I have fallen into the river. I can't raft any longer. Oh, no. Goodbye. It's been great knowing you guys.
Oh, man. We did a raft on this the first time that I camped with friends.
Mm-hmm.
We took a raft, and I was just angry the whole time. Because, again, the disorganization.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I guess the thing is, like, I just wanted to get down the river.
Uh-huh.
And what I really did not like, and probably still do not like, is everyone else on the river.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That was my concern. Like, part of the reason why I hesitated even doing the float trip was I had visions of, you know, like, my idea, when people say float trip, I think, like, spring break on a river.
That's
like, immediately what comes to mind, and I'm like, I do not want
to
do that.
And it can be that experience, and I have, that was what it was like. We may have been on spring break at the time when this happened, and the river was very busy, and I don't like crowds of people in the first place, right?
Yeah.
But I really don't like crowds of drunk people on water.
In cutoff shorts.
And there were, like, for instance, there was, like, you know, a group of college kids, like two groups of college kids who had sort of tied their two rafts together and were floating, you know, just like 30 of them sitting on these things, and they had water guns, and so they're shooting everyone around them. And I'm just like, go home. You know, there was never a moment of peace.
Yeah.
I wanted to just enjoy floating down the river, and it was so crowded.
Yeesh.
That you're basically spending the entire time trying not to run into people.
Yeah.
And on a raft, that's really hard.
Yeah.
On a canoe, you've got more control. At least I feel like I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can kind of weave through people a little bit easier. But with a raft, it's like you get no control.
And you just drift.
Stupid. And I really don't like the fact that you have to sit on the edge of the raft.
Are you concerned that you're going to fall
yes.
in?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But also, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I want to sit in the middle.
I'm bothered by the fact that you don't have any, like, back support.
Yeah, exactly.
In either of them.
Yeah,
I don't think you feel like you have it in a canoe either.
Well, you don't.
In a kayak, maybe, but...
Yeah, you don't. You don't have it in either one.
When I this is a side note, but when I say the word or hear the word kayak, I feel like it's the equivalent of somebody saying coyote in reference to a coyote.
Yeah.
A kayak is to a canoe as a coyote is to a coyote.
I thought maybe a kayak was to a kayaki in the way that a coyote is to a coyote.
Exactly.
Oh, no. was little and we went on camping trips, my sister and I would have our own tent and my parents would have their own tent. And my dad would delight in like yelling things at night and keeping us awake or or like
there is something fun about keeping other people awake.
Yeah.
Or making us laugh.
He'd like to make us laugh.
Like just shouting random phrases.
There's a few things. For instance, we had a thing that sat on the top of the car where, you know, it was basically like a little big case, like a hard shell case, and, you know, put a bunch of luggage in there. And he referred to it as the Trapper Keeper, even though it's not what it is.
No, I like it, though. It's good.
And for whatever reason, he started adopting the the habit of at night when we're all in our tents, he would start singing Trapper Keeper, Trapper Keeper. So that's an example of something he would do.
That I see, I like whether I'm outdoors or indoors, if I'm in a group, I love to sing at the to the chagrin of everybody else. Like I really like to like just go on a kick of like 80 songs, just start singing.
There you go. See, this could make camping fun for you.
Yeah. Antagonizing other people in the middle of the night is fun. Yeah. But it's I think it's a sense of desperation. It's like I'm completely exhausted and I have nothing else that I can do except make you as miserable as I am.
Yeah, totally. And sleeping is already particularly miserable.
Yeah.
As we talk. Oof. The thing is, so at this point now I have a cot that I use and so sleeping's pretty easy now comparatively, sleeping is easy now for me when camping because I have this cot. So I at least have a flat surface. When you don't have that, you've got uneven surface, rocks, roots.
Cold ground.
I don't mind the cold ground. I find that actually refreshing.
Okay.
But it's the, and you know, if you don't set up your tent right, or at least your sleeping bag right, your head will be maybe downhill, so the blood's rushing to your head. And the worst thing that can happen is if it rains and your tent is not particularly waterproof, the water will all puddle in one place.
Yeah.
And if your head is there, that's horrible. If any part of your body, it's pretty horrible. It's awful. I mean, camping and sleeping while camping can very quickly become a horrible experience. Right?
Absolutely.
For various reasons.
Oh, yeah.
There's the comfort level, and then there's the sounds and the potential wildlife that can occur while you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, and this isn't like this wasn't a dangerous thing at all, but last time I was camping, not the last time, maybe it was recent. It was me and my mom and my brother and his family. We'd all just gone camping on a whim, sort of. We decided, let's, you know, we should camp more often. So we did it. And as I told you, my mother was expected to make a lot of bacon on one of the mornings. So she had bought 2 pounds of bacon in preparation. And the first morning when we're supposed to have the bacon, I got up and I was the first one up and out of my tent. And, you know, just like any morning, you're sort of out of it and you're kind of walking around. It's a little more, that feeling is enhanced somewhat because you're in the outdoors now. And I'm looking around and I'm noticing like all this sort of detritus in the campsite. And I'm like, what happened? And I realized like there was bacon wrapper everywhere. And I was like, somebody's left their bacon wrapper everywhere in our campsite. What the heck? And then I hear like sort of chuckling and I look over to my brother's tent, and he and my sister-in-law are watching
me. Covered in bacon.
They're watching me, like, walk around the campsite in confusion. And what I had failed, like, I'd failed to put two and two together, and I, you know, my initial thought was somebody else's bacon wrapper is everywhere, over our campsite. And then it clicked for me when I saw them, and I realized that's our bacon. Our bacon is gone. And apparently what had happened was, in the middle of the night, a raccoon had gotten into our cooler, pulled the bacon out, and either Ben or Tempe, my sister-in-law, had heard this, got up and chased it away, but not in time. Like, the bacon was destroyed. So we didn't have bacon that morning.
Oh, man.
It was the saddest day of my life. But wildlife.
Can picture you, you're like, you just like pick up the wrapper.
Yeah, I did.
You just kind of carry it around with you all day.
It was upsetting.
You make a little flag out of it.
But with the wildlife thing, apparently, and this has been told to me, I don't remember this. One year, I was camping with just my parents, and I was like probably, I think, 3 or 4, maybe 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And we had gone to this campsite, and it was apparently like packed, like tents next to tents. There's no room for anyone. Everyone's just camping. I think maybe it was 4th of July weekend or something. Mm-hmm. And so when we pulled into the campsite and set up, it's tents as far as the eye can see. And then we went off to do some, something activity at the park or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And then apparently we came back, it was empty. Like, we were the only tent left.
Oh, that's creepy.
And a park ranger came by eventually and said that there had been a bear sighting. And so, if we stay there, sort of taking the risk of potential bear encounter.
Folks, you might want to...
So... later that night, we all went up to the bathrooms, where they have like the showers and stuff. And I've been told that I said to my mom, "Let's scare Dad."
Oh.
And so I guess he was in the bathroom, and my mom put me on her shoulders. And when he came out of the bathroom, we were both like, "Roar!" Like a bear. And apparently he freaked out.
As he's running away, were you like, "Yeah. Trapper keeper"?
Exactly. Oh, man. But I've never seen a bear or any wildlife. We've camped a lot. I mean, I've seen it, but never while camping.
Mm-hmm.
The raccoon was the closest we came, and I didn't even see that. I slept through it.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever really encountered much wildlife, period. I mean, like, a lot of weird, like, insects and stuff.
Ew, yeah. Never.
Yeah, that's always... which is another reason why I hate sitting still, because I'm afraid,
yeah,
like,
bugs.
If I stand still, then they can get to me. If I keep moving, then they can't catch me,
It can be somewhat disconcerting when you wake up in a tent and you see all the silhouettes of bugs on the top of your tent
that
have fallen from the trees overnight.
Ugh.
And just crawling along.
Oh, God.
Spiders and bugs and other multi-legged creatures.
Centipedes.
Ooh. They'll crawl on your face.
Yeah. Feel like step on fortune cookie.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm reminded of the movie Ernest Goes to Camp.
Oh, which is fantastic.
Might be the best camp movie.
Might be, yeah. No, you are definitely...
I think it's the
definitely...
first Ernest movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
What an awesome movie.
What a hell of a start.
That contraption they build.
Oh, the catapult thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Camp, what was the name of the camp?
I don't remember. And he was, what was his job there? Was he like
a
handyman?
Like a maintenance man.
Yeah. And it had the, it had the, like, the fat guy who was the chef.
The chef.
And
his
assistant.
Yeah, the bumbling assistant.
He would do those weird faces.
And he would kind of make sounds too.
Yeah, yeah.
He made like Mr. Bean sounds.
Yeah, totally. Like... But they also had a contraption that they built. They would like throw lobsters into it.
And he would talk to him. He'd be like, "No, don't put me in there. Oh, yeah, you too. Drop him in the thing.
I haven't watched that movie in such a long time.
It's fantastic. That's a
great movie.
He has that like soliloquy moment where he's like singing in the rain.
Yeah.
And he has the turtle. His friend, the snapping turtle.
That snaps onto his nose.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
That's like an
That's a joke that one of the campers, like, are the group of the kids, like the sort of the ruffians.
Yeah,
outsider kids. Yeah.
What is the name of that campsite? It's like, it's something to do with teepees, isn't it?
Camp Kickakee.
Camp Kickakee.
That's it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they were trying, the developers were trying to take over Camp Kickakee, and they like had brought bulldozers in.
Yeah.
It was like the destruction crew.
That's
and
right.
So they built the catapult.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And it was that the genesis of his trademark?
I think it might have been. Man. Yeah, that was a fantastic movie. There are. I never liked camping, but I loved camping movies.
Yeah.
Movies about like kids going into the outdoors.
Yeah.
I really, really dug.
And summer camp movies.
Summer camp, yeah.
And really,
Sleepaway Camp.
Meatballs I never got into as a kid.
I just like the setting. I just like the idea behind it.
The more recent Wet Hot American Summer is a really great,
it's
a
fantastic movie.
Movie.
Not just a good camp movie, but a good movie all around.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Camp Nowhere. Did you ever see Camp Nowhere?
I don't think I did.
Oh, that's good.
There was the show Salute Your Shorts.
Yes.
Camp Anawana.
Yeah.
Camp Anawana. We hold you in our hearts. And when we think about you, it makes me wanna fart. That's what the one kid said.
The redheaded kid?
Yeah.
Who is, I mean, that kid's
Bobby
basically,
Budnick.
He's at every camp.
Yeah, he is. Summer camp once for like 2 weeks, and it was not what I expected because I was used to, you know, these representations that I'd seen, and it was not nearly as much fun. I actually felt very stressed out by it because you were expected to be good at stuff. I remember the first day they had a swimming competency thing to determine whether or not you would have to wear a life preserver while you're swimming.
Oh, yeah. You had to prove your proficiency.
I failed because... So I thought we would get more than one chance for one thing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize if you failed one part of the test, you failed the whole test.
Oh.
So the first part of the test was treading water. Mm-hmm. And we had to tread water for 5 minutes or something. And I just couldn't do it. And I was like, okay, well, I'll try again. And I was like, I'm going to stop. That was it. Failed.
Cut you off.
Had to wear a life preserver the rest of the 2 weeks.
Oh, my
whenever
God.
Whenever I was near the water. It was horrible. Then there was fishing. And I managed to break 3 fishing poles. And it was the only 3 times I ever tried fishing while there. Like the first time I cast the line into a bush and couldn't get it untangled. The second time
oh God.
The second time I went to cast it and let go of the fishing rod and the whole thing went into the lake. And then the third time, I simply walked up to the edge of the lake and the spool, the reel, just fell off of the pole into the water.
No, were these in succession? Was it like you throw the thing into the woods, or you get it caught into the bush, yeah, or whatever, and you can't get it out? So then you go like, "Can I have another fishing rod?" And then you hurl that one into the lake, and you're like, "Actually, can I have another one?"
No, it was different. Okay. It was like different days, but it was so disheartening. And then one of the things that you look forward to is like pranking other campers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is what camp's all about, right? Well, one morning we woke up and the girls had pranked our, you know, dorm or whatever, mm-hmm, not a dorm, our cabin. And it was pretty tame. They had basically like teepeed my bunk and a couple other bunks, and then they'd put like toothpaste in someone's hair and various things like that, right? Mm. And so we're like, we gotta get them back.
Oh yeah.
So that night, somebody wakes me up to be like, "Come on, we're gonna go prank the girls." I was like, "I'm too tired," and I slept through it. So I'm like doing it wrong in every capacity. The only things that I did well at were the arts and crafts.
Yeah.
And shooting a rifle. Like, I got third place out of the whole camp for marksmanship. And at the end of the 2 weeks, they had a camp Olympics, right? I didn't get to shoot. Like, I wasn't one of the people who they didn't put me in the shooting event.
Oh.
I was in some stupid race, and I did horribly. And it was so disappointing.
That redheaded kid is like, I just picture him like snickering like at every interval.
And I never got to take part in like the camp store. Like, there was a store, you get candy and stuff. I didn't have any money.
Oh yeah.
So like, I'd walk there with other kids, but I never get anything.
And they would buy those things that would like the flint.
No, they bought candy. Flint. Who'd want flint? They had Percy bars. I was not good at summer camp.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And I do remember it fondly, mm-hmm, but also not.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I felt like.
Fondly because it's torturous.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like a war story.
But I did not, and like barely there were kids. The other thing was a lot of the kids were people who'd been going to this camp for years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the veterans, they all
so
know
I
each other.
So I didn't know anybody either. I mean, eventually I made friends, you know.
Yeah.
But it was still, you know, somewhat awkward initially. And those fishing poles still haunt me.
I like the idea that they're still out there.
Yeah, they're still stuck out there somewhere. Did you ever go to summer camp?
Yeah, yeah. Every year for a couple of years. It was Boy Scout camp. So it was like 5 days or something like that. And that was the thing where, like, you know, I wanted to go explore the creek, and I couldn't because we had to keep going back for arts
jerks.
And crafts or something. Yeah, hated it. And I would get in fights with people.
What kind of fights?
You know, just how old stupid things. I don't know, like 8.
Okay.
But I would be like my group of friends would like be like walking through an area.
Yeah.
And there would be like some other group of kids, you know?
Yeah.
And I would just assume that they were like making fun of us or saying something. So I would walk over and be like, "What's your problem?"
Wow.
And then they would be like, "What? Nothing. What's your problem?"
Oh,
you know,
wow.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they were looking to incite something too, just as much as I was.
Yeah. I can't help but think of that reluctantly joyful 15-year-old sitting on
ET's
bicycle. The one moment of happiness amidst a sea of despair.
The one moment where the fists were at my side.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, not a whole lot of experiences, good experiences outdoors, except for, like, you know, those few moments of bonding, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, I have one great outdoor experience, and it wasn't camping related. It's sort of, I guess it was sort of camping related. I went on this retreat in high school, my senior year. The whole senior class, they took segments of the class and you know, grouped them like 30 kids at a time to go out to this this remote dorm, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of, you know, like those stupid games where you like, you get a ball of yarn and you like, somebody holds the thing of yarn and tosses it to somebody else and everybody has to hold onto the yarn until it like fills the room. Yeah. That kind of game.
I hate that.
So all of that stuff was super lame.
Yeah.
But in the evening we would have like, you know, maybe 2 hours after dinner where, you know, we could
free for all
do on, whatever we wanted to do. And so that invariably, like, it always started, like, everybody's outside. All the smokers are outside, you know, smoking, you know, whatever. And so everybody hangs out there for a little while. And then eventually we split off. And so we were only there one night. It was an overnight thing. But that one night, a bunch of my friends and I started just wandering down this path. And we found one of those we were along this, like, steep hillside. And I don't know if you've ever been like to any place where there's like a river or a creek and there's a hillside next to it, but frequently you'll come across like these boat tracks used to lower things down to the lake area or the water area. And there's one of those, but it was all old and rusty, clearly wasn't in use. But it was like a ladder. We were like, oh, we can climb up this thing. And so one of my friends, you know, some of my friends are not as into that idea as the other ones are. But before they can say anything, like, the other ones are, like, climbing up it. So we're like, oh, okay, you know, I guess we're climbing up this thing. And it was steep. We probably climbed, like, 200 feet.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was way up there.
Jeez.
And we keep climbing. We finally get up to the top. And I don't know what is going on. You know, I'm just concentrating on, like, not falling and dying, you know. And we get up to the top, and it's, like, somebody's backyard. And I'm just looking around at this and I'm thinking, what are we doing here? And then I turn around and everybody is looking the other way. And from this backyard, we overlook like this entire valley.
Uh-huh.
Like we can see for, you know, 50-100 miles from this height.
Nice.
And it was so like striking and surprising, you know,
yeah.
And I totally wasn't prepared for that. And that moment, like, that's one of my favorite moments of all time. Like, that's one of my favorite moments of my life.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have happened, you know, any other way had I not been removed from my comfort zone, you know, out in that environment. But
see? There you go. One moment.
One moment.
That's all you need.
In a life of outdoor hell. That one moment.
We're going to go camping and I'll show you how it's done.
All right.
And we'll sit and listen. To nothing.
Yeah. All right. I guess we better put this fire out.
Yeah, pack this up.
All right.
In the archive.